Breaking news,
and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why. It's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
And welcome back again to the Expressway. I'm your co-host, Charles Show Me Way. I'm here with the BT Express, Billy Taylor, and we are here talking about New York Giants football as well as New York Jets football and any other top news story in the world of sports that we can think of. And especially in our third quarter, as we break up our segments in the four quarters, in our third quarters, we usually kind of pick a topic that has been weighing on our hearts heavy for the past week since we last talked to you and kind of share our thoughts and perspective on those topics. So this week, stay tuned for our exciting third quarter because we definitely have something that we want to share with you again this week. But first, New York Giants and the Detroit Lions are having their first joint practices this week, Billy. And what are you looking for? What do you expect to see from Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley, our new wide receiving core, young wide receiving core, tight end Waller, and what about our defense? Looking at the Jets preseason game this past weekend and seeing a lot of young, but makes me kind of concerned listening to some of the guys. It's kind of concerning me that I think that I'm less worried about our offense and more worried about our defense. What do you think?
I give you a credit on that. I went out to practice last week and I was just impressed with the tempo they were going at. You know, they realize that they open up against the Cowboys September 10th. And they got to be ready. You can't wait three or four games to get ready because you'll fall behind in the division. I think this Detroit practice is going to really show a lot of stuff for the Giants because, you know yourself, you get tired of going against the same person every day in practice. And now you get a chance to go against a different opponent. It's going to bring out the best in the Giants. And I think the big competition, like you said, the defense needs working on, but I got confidence in them. But if the offense does what they're supposed to do, and maintain ball control, keep the defense off the field, that allows the defense to come in well-rested. But the competition I see is at wide receiver because even LeBron James talked about Paris Campbell, and he does look good, but Isaiah Hopkins did good last year. He was the receiver that got traded to the Giants earlier. And then with Darren Waller and Daniel Bellinger at tight end, this looks outstanding on paper, but they don't play the games on paper.
Yeah, when you look at some of the reporters' comments about the joint practice with Detroit, it looks like Daniel Jones struggled, and I could see that because once you get used to and accustomed playing against yourselves, you understand what they're trying to do, you understand their schemes, and now you have a different team, a different defensive system you're going against, and the intensity level is ratcheted up. Quite a bit. And based on what people are reporting, how those practices went, Daniel Jones really struggled. Darren Waller and Jalen Hyatt had a tough time dealing with their physical and aggressive secondary. So even though during the first practice it didn't go well, I think it'll only bode well for how they improve and where they have to go because they're seeing something different, and it's more physical than they would probably get at a normal training camp against themselves. What do you think?
Well, see, a lot of people, Charles, are picking the Detroit Lions to make the playoffs, but really, what's really going to be a telltale is they open up against the defending champion, Super Bowl champs, Kansas City Chiefs, so they're going to be able to tell right away if they've improved. They won something like the last 8 or 9 games they played. Their quarterback is getting a lot of credit. He play with the Rams when they went to the first Super Bowl. And I just think that this is going to be a big, big week for the Giants because, you know, if those guys are not doing well at wide receiver, you know, because they got a list of Isaiah Hodgins, Darius Slayton, Jalen Hyatt, Paris Campbell, got a lot of Sterling Shepard, got a long list of, this is probably, and tell me if I'm wrong, one of the best talents the Giants have had a wide receiver in a number of years. So the cream is going to come to the top. And during these scrimmages and on the game on Saturday when they play Detroit, and the former New York Jet, Aaron Glenn, is the defensive coordinator for Detroit. I think he's going to get a head coaching job pretty soon. But this is a really big opportunity for the Giants to show people that the receivers have learned, because, you know, they've been in camp and OTAs for a long time, and now it's time to show up.
Yeah, and it seems like they haven't shown up, especially if you read the reports about the first day of practice. Offense really struggled. Defense wasn't very consistent. And it just goes to show you, like you said, Detroit has a very, very good team, and it's a young team at that. And so they're impressive on defense. They said Aiden Hutchinson, the first overall pick from last year's draft class, is really stepping up. We talked about potential Hall of Famers last week, about who in the NFL from today's game has the potential to wear a gold jacket. And based on what I'm hearing and everyone's talking about, he may be that next guy. He may be like that Michael Strahan, who has just an awesome career and will lead that team and will go down in history as an all-time Lion great, because he is creating havoc on the defensive side of the ball during practice, which is really good for if he's playing on the left side is Evan Neal. If he's playing on the right side, it's Thomas. So I think this is we couldn't have asked for anything more than to go against a talented, active team like the Detroit Lions in practice.
And you remember Campbell, the coach. Did you play with him at all?
I did. Dan Campbell. We played together.
Did you think he was coach material?
You know what? I knew he was. He had some great mentors. Think about all the people that he was around. He was around Bill Parcells. He was around Sean Payton. So he had some great mentors and people guiding him. And I think he's taken a little bit of his own personality, but interweaving a little bit of Sean, a little bit of Parcells in what he does. And he brings some excitement to that team. And I'm happy for him. I want nothing but success for Dan, because he was a great teammate, a great guy. And I love what he's doing. He has a different way of going about it, but I love what he's doing in Detroit.
I do too, because I like the way he converses with his players. I like the way that he stands for toughness. And all years that I've been watching the NFL, you can always tell when someone is playing for their coach. And the Detroit Lions, they play for Campbell. They give effort every single week. They're in almost every single game they play. And I'm happy that they're having success. It's just that this time of year when they're going against the Giants, this is really going to make the Giants stand up or back down. And I think this is the kind of competition the Giants need when they get ready for that first game against the Cowboys next month.
Absolutely. And my question to you is, now that we're approaching these preseason games, and we've talked about this in previous shows, do you think it's important that Daniel Jones plays from the very, very beginning? Maybe two series instead of just one, but plays enough to get acclimated to the game. So during that first week, since the beginning of the season is so tough and so very important to get off to a good start, how important is it to you that he plays enough so that he is ready for opening day?
Well, see, they've been practicing with the OTAs probably about 3 or 4 or 5 months now. I mean, ever since he signed that new contract, even before them, he was out there working with the receivers. And I think nowadays you see quarterbacks go to where the receivers are. I mean, I watched different quarterbacks over the years fly their guys to the Bahamas, down to Florida where it's warmer, so they can learn to work together, because I think it's so cool. Give you an example of what I'm talking about. I have a little boy, and he's trying to play wide receiver, but he plays running back. I put up numbers for him. One's a down and out, two's a down and in, three's a quick post, four is the goal. And all I do, and we've been playing this little Giant thing at Giant Stadium, it's for the big brothers and big sisters, and they give all the kids jerseys of NFL teams like the Bucks and the Ravens and the Patriots. He's got about every single jersey because we've been doing it about 5 or 6 years. But what is credible for me is the communication between the receiver and the quarterback is incredible, because I was listening to Aaron Rodgers talk about how he tells his receiver what to do. If his left hand touches the hole in his ear, it don't mean anything. But if the right hand touches the hole in the ear, it means for him to take a go pattern. And I think that is one of the best situations in the world. And I did that with my little guy. His name is Parker. I put up a 5. He'd take the go and get a touchdown. I threw 5 touchdown passes to my son, but nobody knew he was my son because, you know, we've been practicing. We never spoke to each other. I just give him a 1 or 2 or 3. And that makes me think, because Eli used to do that too. And good quarterbacks, Peyton did it. You know, because if you get on the same page, and I think the receiver that got traded to the Las Vegas Raiders, Adams from Green Bay, I think that he and Rodgers probably had the best communication anybody I've ever seen, because for some reason they always get the play done. And I'm trying to figure out, how is Danny Jones going to be able to get the communication to his favorite receiver? Because in certain situations, you need to go the guy who can catch, who can make the play, who you know is going to be there. So I'm anxious to see what happens as far as that concerned.
Yeah, I'm hoping that Daniel Jones gets to that point where Aaron Rodgers has a little bit more control. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers has been in the league. He deserves all the type of leeway that he gets because he's a Hall of Famer. We all know that. But when you look at Daniel Jones, this is what, his fourth year going into his fifth year, yep, in the NFL, second year with a new offense and Mike Kafka. So I think it's going to be a little bit more. It's going to take a little bit more time for him to have that kind of leeway to do certain things. I'm hoping that Mike Kafka and
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.
And Brian Daboll gives him that leeway, or at least he develops a good enough relationship with Waller and Hyatt and every other wide receiver that he has to kind of give him, especially, you know, Jalen Hyatt having 4-2 speed and having man-to-man coverage. It's a go every day, all day. When you got cover zero and you know it's cover zero, you just throw the ball up and let him run under it. And if you give a guy leeway, that's easy 7 all day, every day. And so it may be too premature because this is only his, fifth, sixth year in the league. I don't know if he's that mature enough yet to give him that much control over an offense. But if he gets to that point, man, sky's the limit for the Giants.
But, you know, what I really like, Charles, is that back shoulder throw the quarterbacks and receivers. Because if you think about it from a defensive standpoint, from a defensive back, that is unstoppable if you have it back shoulder. Like if his right shoulder is even with the guy, he throws it on the left shoulder. I don't think you got a chance at that. So I'm hoping he develops that with the receivers. If he gets Darren Waller going and then having double coverage on the tight end because he's doing so good, then it gives Paris Campbell and Jalen and Sterling Shepard a lot of room to run because they're going to be in man coverage. So it's going to be interesting the whole year because they do have the talent, Charles Way.
Yeah, you know, and I can't wait to see how this preseason game goes. You're listening to The Expressway with Charles Show Me The Way and the BT Express Billy Taylor. We have a lot more to go. We'll be talking about the Jets training camp, and their first show of Hard Knocks was this weekend. So we're going to talk a little bit about that and what we saw, but we will be right back in a moment. And we're back again here. You're listening to The Expressway. I'm Charles. Show me the way here with the BT Express, Billy Taylor. We just finished up our first quarter talking about all things New York Giants and their new joint session with the Detroit Lions as they play the Lions this week in their first preseason game. Next up, we're going to be talking about the J-E-T-S, Jets. And Aaron Rodgers is like all that we all expected him to be. He is that leader. He is like the driving force for all the excitement that that team has and all the Super Bowl aspirations that they have is centered around one guy, Aaron Rodgers. And looking at Hard Knocks, I saw the Hard Knocks show Tuesday night. And I don't know if that was the first time it came on, but that's when I saw it. And when looking at his presence alone has changed that entire dynamic of that team. Did you get that same feeling when you watched the show?
Absolutely. He's like a coach on the field. He's going around talking to everybody. And you know, when you saw Bill Parcells, he went around and talked to everybody. I think when I went to the Raiders, the owners of the Raiders, his name is Al Davis. He went around and talked to everybody. I think a head coach has got to do that. And someone who's integral in your plan to have success, you got to have them on the same page and act like you can't be unapproachable. And I think that Aaron Rodgers has really showed a lot of people, Charles, that he's not what they thought he was. They thought he was aloof, a loner, things like that. But he is showing that you know, New York is his kind of place. He's been to the Taylor Swift concerts. He's been to the Rangers games. He's been everywhere all over New York. And if you're a player who likes to get out and see things, this is the place to be. And I think he's showing that he's here for a reason.
Yeah, absolutely. You like on the show, you saw a defensive guy saying, man, this dude isn't what everybody portrays him to be. This guy is like loose. He's one of the guys. He tries to bring everybody into the fold. And that's, I guess, the media can kind of paint that type of perception of you if given the opportunity, and especially being in Green Bay, not being a media center of the world. Maybe you can get that perception because you can be a recluse because there isn't a lot of media. You got like 8 different media outlets, probably 20 different media outlets in the New York market alone, and probably double that. And so he's a little bit more out there. People know more about what Aaron Rodgers is doing. And just being on Hard Knocks, you're able to see his interaction, how guys are interacting with him, and how he's bringing that young team, which the Jets are a very young team, that young team together. And I'm excited to see what they can do when this season. Do you think that Aaron Rodgers should play a snap during the preseason?
Well, I think he should at least a series somewhere down the line. It used to be the third game where everybody suited up and kind of made it like a real game, but you don't want him to get hurt at all. And the only thing I think he's okay, because you look at Wilson, he's the one who needs the help. I mean, it was funny when they were showing on Hard Knocks where he threw a touchdown pass that Aaron Rodgers had called for. And he saw what was going on and was able to make the call and get a touchdown pass, and they congratulated and had a good time. He's making the Jets smile. He's making the Jets have fun. And I think that's what football is all about, is enjoying your teammates, having fun, because you cannot do it by yourself. You learned Charles Way as a running back years ago, so did I, that you got to have help. And if you understand the help that's going with you and you can get them to play to a higher level of performance, that's what coaching is about. That's what teaching is about. That's what Aaron Rodgers is bringing them to, hopefully, a higher level of performance.
Yeah, and like I said before on the other shows, they are a different team with a better quarterback at the helm. They could have been a championship caliber team last year if they had a quarterback, and we saw that. And outside of the, and they were doing it with backup to the backups because of their running back situation. But now their running backs are healthy. Obviously, coming off of a ACL injury isn't anything to play around with. So it's still going to take some time for their running backs to get truly healthy, and you won't see their health start taking place probably for halfway through the season. But having the opportunity to be around a leader like him, a Hall of Famer, Tom Brady-esque is what I call him. And what Tom Brady did to the Tampa Bay Bucks and that franchise and that team was a bunch of rogue veterans. You know that, right? And so I compare the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to the St. Louis Rams when they won the Super Bowl. You're really making a deal with the devil, saying I'm going to sell you my soul so that I can win one Super Bowl. And I think that's what the Los Angeles Rams, Los Angeles Rams did, is that they sold their soul to the devil because they had some yo-hos on that team, and they spent a lot of money for a team that was very dysfunctional, but was able to keep it together long enough to win a Super Bowl. But Mark, and I told you that team scared me, that when it kind of came apart, it was going to come apart fast. That building crashed down pretty fast. Just like Tampa. Tampa Bay got a lot of guys that were very, very, very difficult to deal with as coaches on other teams. But they were great, talented players. And Tom Brady was able to bring that crew together. But once everything started to fall apart and Tom Brady started to actually show his age, that team came crashing down and as well. So I think the Jets are building it right. It's a young team. They got a decent core foundation. It seems like it's a great, great, great group of guys. And I think Salah, he has a chance to, it's on, like I told you before, the two people that's going to get blamed if things go wrong is Salah and Rodgers. Those are the two people. And Salah has nowhere to hide now. And so if they win, he's going to be the greatest thing in New York. If they lose, he's going to be the first thing out of New York.
Yeah, but see, I think he's got a chance with Rodgers at the helm, because if you look at them, they're talented in all areas. The only guy I worry about is Mekhi Becton, the right tackle, because I don't know what happened last week. He played six plays or something and didn't come back on the field. And I don't know, you know, if that helps your offensive line. He might have been too tired. It might have been too hot, you know, because he's 350 pounds at 6'5". So I don't know what happened there. But if they can get that taken care of, they got an opportunity. And this looks like the Rams with Matt Stafford and the Bucks with Tom Brady, because all both teams needed was somebody to lead them. And that's the same with the Jets went out and got that going. So it's just going to be fun watching. Even though we are, you know, New York Giants and we bleed blue, it's going to be fun to watch both teams all year long, because the Jets open up with Buffalo, and that's going to be a tough game from the get, just like Giants open up against the Cowboys. That's going to tell us something from the very beginning.
Yeah, and the question, we talked about this week, the Mekhi Becton deal, right? I don't understand. I read in the paper that he pulled himself out of the game after seven plays because the turf wasn't right.
Yep.
And I was thinking about all the coaches I had. If I would have said that I don't feel like playing because I don't like the turf I'm playing on, I don't think I would have been playing very long in the end. I don't care what my name was. So that surprised me. And that just goes to show you, is the NFL truly changing?
It's not even a question, because I know exactly what you're talking about. As a matter of fact, Charles Wade may have been traded to Arizona. Because, you know, nobody, I don't know any coach who would have put up with that kind of stuff, especially the way the football is. You know, but Mekhi Becton, the offensive right tackle, he was on the left side. They put him on the right side. He lost about 50 pounds. I still don't know if he can do the job yet. You know, I mean, he's still coming back from an injury. He sounds a little soft to me, but I know he's not. He can't be 6'5", 350, right tackle. If he gets his game together, the Jets are going to be all right. But I have to look who's behind him. And see what they can do, because you look at Dwayne Brown, their left tackle, they're pretty satisfied with him. But if the right tackle doesn't do anything, and you see that right away because he's in the quarterback's face, I don't know what this game, well, maybe during the week of practice against Detroit all week, maybe that will help them. Oh, excuse me, is that who the
Jets are? No, the Giants are playing Detroit.
Jets are practicing against they play the Panthers. But I don't think – well, they got to get it together this week. They play the Panthers, who are a pretty good defensive team, on Saturday. So we'll just have to see how that goes, man. But I'd be concerned about that right tackle, Mekhi Becton.
Yeah, and I mean that is something to be concerned with. But for me, and I can't wait. I hope, and maybe he's purposely staying out of the camera's prayer view because of all the controversy surrounding Mekhi Becton. Because I didn't see him very much, if at all, in the Hard Knocks clips this week. But I'm curious to see how his interaction is with his teammates, given what he's done. Because as a teammate, don't you look at one another, even though it's an unwritten rule to even say anything or criticize other players, but don't you give players that you don't think may be doing what they need to do to get us to a point the side eye at some point?
What's the side eye?
Tell me, I don't know. Is that, I mean, did you have the same feeling like, yo, this dude, he's getting paid what? He's doing what?
Is he earning his money? Is he stealing? We used to call it stealing if you get hurt and get your money anyway. We call it stealing.
That's right. And I think we all got to be politically correct here because we all former players, right? But once you get behind this news camera, you can say whatever you want. Look at Sean Payton. he lost his mind. He forgot he was back on the field. He wasn't behind the camera trying to tell whatever he wanted to tell. But, you know, I really do hope that Mekhi does come back and have a great year, because if that offensive line gets his act together and can protect Aaron Rodgers, which the great thing about Aaron Rodgers is he doesn't need you to protect him for very long because he gets the ball out. He just needs somebody to give him at least 3.5 seconds and he'll do the rest. And that's not asking much. And if they can do that, I think sky's the limit for the Jets.
And I read where Tom Brady, and I didn't understand, remember in the last few years of Eli would get rid of the ball as soon as he thought some rush was on him. He didn't try to avoid the rush. He got rid of it. His brother Peyton got rid of the ball pretty soon. Tom Brady has very little agility and mobility, and he got rid of the ball within 2 seconds. And I think what hurt him was his offensive line. So I see Aaron Rodgers doing that in practice, and I think Danny Jones has got to do that. You cannot 100% totally depend on your offensive line because you got too many great athletes playing defense. On defensive end, look at Dexter Lawrence. I mean, he made all pro last year. He's making gigantic money. He's coming to get you. And that's a scary fact. The only good thing about it is they can't land, smash you to the ground like they used to and put their weight on you when they come down, because that's how you break something on a quarterback. But I just think that, you know, there's too many guys, good players on defense for you to have to kind of take it easy from a quarterback position, but because you got to be ready to get rid of that ball, I think, even quicker.
Absolutely. And you're absolutely right. And I'm curious to see how that offensive line comes together for the Jets. But we're about to go into a break. We'll be right back in a minute. But
breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Coming up next, talking about how things have changed in the NFL, Eric Bieniemy is Eric Bieniemy, my question to you, is Eric Bieniemy already on the hot seat as the new offense coordinator for the Washington Redskins? Players are saying that he's coaching them too tough. So what do you think about that? Well, we'll be right back in a moment. I'll get your answer. And welcome back to the Expressway. I'm Charles Show Me the Way here with the BT Express Billy Taylor. And we just made it through two quarters talking about the New York Jets and New York Giants football teams and their upcoming preseason games. Now we're talking about all things NFL and what's on our mind today and how the league is changing every day. And I think it's becoming, I think people call it more woke. This is the woke generation. And so there was an article that came out. I guess Ron Rivera had an interview with the press. And during that interview, he mentioned that a couple of players had come up to him expressing some concern that Eric Bieniemy is coaching too tough. And so when I heard that, I was like, what? You can't coach a guy tough anymore? And I guess if you look, go through the different coaching philosophies and how things have changed, it just kind of surprised me, because the way I was brought up is like, hey, do what you're told. Run. If the coach tells you to run through a brick wall, you run through a brick wall. You don't play, right? But obviously, I realize times have changed. I am up with the times. But there's a whole lot of backstory to that article, right, that we need to unpack, because A, there was already some talk that Eric Bieniemy, players didn't like Eric Bieniemy when he was offensive coordinator at the Kansas City Chiefs. And that's why he couldn't get himself a head coaching job, because he couldn't get players to buy into what he was doing. And he would probably disjoint the locker room and fail as a head coach. So that's the one issue. Second issue is, why would Ron Rivera, if he is trying to help kind of build up Eric Bieniemy so he can get a head coaching job, why would you publicize that to the whole world? You know, the owners read the papers. Why would you publicize the fact that he's having a difficult time getting along with players, because now it's going to even hinder him even more getting a head coaching job? So that's the problem I have, outside of the fact that Eric Bieniemy needs to look in the mirror and maybe change the way he coaches to today's player.
Yeah, but see, there's two ways you can look at that, CW. Number one, the Washington Redskins are wimps. The Commanders are wimps. They haven't done anything in the last few years to make themselves even contenders. They had one of the worst owners in the game. They finally got rid of him. A lot of people were mad at what they call the Redskins name. I think Eric Bieniemy came in there with a three-time Super Bowl contender. I mean, he's won the Super Bowl two times. He lost once. He's been there. He knows what it takes to work. You had to put some work in to be a winner in this league. You look at Belichick. People complaining about him working them too hard. I know for sure Parcells worked them too hard, because I played for Parcells. And I know sometimes that you know, players kind of get comfortable and they're not used to a different system. I think whatever Eric Bieniemy is doing, he's going to make them be better. They got a new quarterback, a new system. And if they do what he says and he knows what he's doing, I don't see any fault in working hard. He's not killing them in practice. He's not making them do a scrimmage hard. What he's doing is just making them well aware of all the repetitions they have to do so they can be perfect. You know, as a football player, you don't want to make mistakes. If you go out there and don't make a mistake, the quarterback doesn't turn the ball over, you don't miss certain situations, you have a chance to win. Eric Bieniemy knows that. So I kind of get mad when the players say that, because it makes me show that these guys are soft.
Yeah, but when you look at it, though, like that, and we're not there, so we're only basing it off of what we read in the media.
You're safe.
But when you hear that and you listen to what other teams or his past experience, this is the reason why he didn't get a head coaching job. If you believe what they wrote about it, is because he didn't develop a great relationship with the players. There was some conflict with the players when he was the offensive coordinator with the Kansas City Chiefs. And so to have that storyline follow him to the Redskins and Ron Rivera, a coach that's helped many a minority coach get ahead and get positions where they have an opportunity to become a head coach, to have Ron Rivera publicly state that was an ongoing issue with their team, did he do it to help him or did he do it to hurt him? Because right now it just kind of promotes what's being characterized about Eric Bieniemy not being able to relate to players.
Well, see, I played with a guy named Ray Perkins, and it was his first time being the head coach, and the Giants wanted somebody to come in who was tough because they had a lot of veteran players when I was a rookie in my second year. And the thing about it is when that happens to some coaches, they come in and want to be a mean son of a gun. And I think that that's kind of hard to, you know, it might be easier to be nice and then be hard later, or is it easier to be hard at the beginning and ease up later? But as a coach, you got to come in and then prove yourself to the players because they got to believe in your system, or at least everybody's got to buy into it. I think Eric Bieniemy, he's got what it takes. I want to see him deal with people. I mean, we talked about coaches going around talking to everybody, you know, letting them know you have a different personality. Some coaches talk about stuff they do in the off days. Some coaches are into wines and different things, and that kind of gets their mind off of the practice and the game, because I don't think you can think about it 110% of the time, because you got to go home with your family to eat. You got to go, you know, think about other things. So I think whatever coach can get his point across is very important. So I don't know about Eric Bieniemy. I know that he's a winner, and I know he played running back in the NFL. So, and he's coached with Andy Reid, arguably one of the top two coaches in the NFL. So I don't know who was the reason for their success. Was it Eric Bieniemy, or was it Andy Reid?
Yeah, and when you look at it, a lot of coaches have already talked about how they had to change who they were from the first time they had any type of leadership position. And Brian Daboll said the same thing. He said, "I tried to be somebody I wasn't, and my wife told me I needed to change." Coach Coughlin did the same thing. Coach Coughlin, we all hear about the story before the run to the Super Bowl, is that he changed. He wanted to be more personable. He still had his rules. He still was strict. He still had a certain edge to him, but he was more relatable to the players. The players went from hating him before that Super Bowl year to loving him when he retired, where half the team showed up at his retirement press conference, right? And so I think the problem is that Eric Bieniemy, and Ron Rivera mentioned it. He said Coach Del Rio is the defensive coach for the Redskins, and he carries himself way differently. And he says because he was a head coach and has that head coach experience, he's more apt to act that way, more laid back, more in control because he was a head coach. Whereas Eric Bieniemy, this is his first time, and he's probably feeling the pressure of saying, I need to make this work, or I will never be a head coach in this league ever if I don't make this opportunity work. I'm out of Andy Reid's shadow, right? So people can't say the only reason why we're winning is because Andy Reid is calling the plays. Everything is on him now. And so that could be a little bit of concern to him. Is like, look, all of this is on my shoulders. They better do what I need them to do, or I'm out. And so, but I just think there's a balance, and he has to find it, or he won't be successful.
I totally agree. But this is the time of the year, CW, where you need to find the balance. Because in preseason, when you do your trial and error, you work on things that you may not do during the course of the season. You try different things out. But what I wanted to ask you is that, because I remember I was broadcasting back then, and Coughlin was arguing with Michael Strahan about him working the team too hard. What happened back then?
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
So honestly, it was all during the off season. Everybody was doing their self evaluations because management didn't know whether they were going to keep Coughlin or not, what types of changes were going to be made, and really it was just a conversation. And it's like, hey, coach, this is who you are. I saw you with your grandkids. You are having a whole lot of fun. You are a different man when you're around your grandchildren, and he never showed that the first 3 or 4 years he was with the team. He never showed that soft side to him. He's never showed that fatherly care that a lot of guys wanted to see. Like, you know, you're telling me to run through a wall. I want to see that if I do get hurt running through this wall, you care about me, you know? And so I think he had to add that. And we did a bunch of different things to show people that other side of him. And he was able to bring that other side to him to the practice field. And that's all he needed. He needed to bring that side to the practice field, because when he first came in, the first meeting, he said, when you walk through those doors, it's football all day, every day. When you leave, you can think about whatever you want. But when you walk through those doors, I don't care, at lunchtime, you're thinking about football. So that's the intensity that he tried to spread throughout the entire team. He wanted to go full go all day, every day, as long as you was in that facility. And there are times where people didn't want to do football for the 8 hours they were in the facility. They wanted a break. They wanted to kind of say, hey, look, I'm dealing with mess outside of this facility. Do you understand the mess I'm dealing with? And can you help me through the mess while I'm here? Because if when I leave, I'm going to try to figure it out on my own, and it may not be to your liking. And so I think through that process, he became who he was and who everybody loves. And it's like night and day when he was with the Jacksonville Jaguars and when he was with the Giants, because the Jaguars, if you talk to a man, they hated him. Like 99% of the entire team hated him, right? And then you talk to the Giants, 99% of the team loved him. And so I think that was the big difference. And I think Eric Bieniemy, I hope someone talks to Eric Bieniemy, because I believe that he has a great opportunity. He's a great coach, and he should have a head coaching job. But like everybody else says, and we know this, because of the nature, you're a Black coach, you may be held to a higher standards. You have to understand how to make the best of the opportunity that you get. Obviously, we don't want to put race into it, but sometimes it plays a factor. And so I think he needs to kind of look in the mirror, talk to other coaches that have had the opportunity, and see if he can kind of try not to be somebody he's not and to be somebody he is.
Yeah, but I think this is one of the great opportunities in NFL history. The guy played with Kansas City, coached for Kansas City. Now he's getting a chance to do it all on his own. And if he can implement a system that works, it's going to be nothing but positive. But I've talked all year, Charles, about terrible coaches. There's a lot of bad coaches who try to emulate other coaches. As great as Bill Belichick is, he doesn't have many great coaches out there he's made great coaches because of following him. As a matter of fact, you can count them probably on two fingers how many there are. And you look at Josh, the coach of the Raiders, and he's not a good coach. He hasn't proven himself. So we're going to see. And I hope Eric Bieniemy makes the adjustments so that he can become the person that everybody thinks he can be. But you got to have a personality. You can't be unapproachable. You got to be able to, you know, there's got to be always somebody there to be able to talk to. And if they want to talk to you, you got to give them the time of day without giving them that look where you're looking through them. So I hope Eric Bieniemy makes the right decisions, because everybody's looking at him. Because if he does good here, without a question, he'll get an opportunity later. But if you fail now, I think it's going to be tough for you to get something later.
Yeah, it's like I said, I think it's a lot of pressure. I don't know if he's putting that pressure on him, but think about it. The past three seasons, you've been mentioned as the perennial head coach for some team, and you have not gotten one job, right? You're supposed to be the top coaching candidate coming out of that season, and you didn't get it. You're the only one that doesn't get a job that's supposed to be one of the top tiers in coaching searches. And so it's a lot of pressure on him. He's out from underneath Andy Reid's wing, and he should have done this a long time ago, because everybody thinks Andy Reid is still calling the plays, and yep, he has nothing to do with it. And the reason for their success is because of Andy Reid. And so he needed to show people that, no, it is me. I can do the job, and I can do it well. And so I just hope that he kind of looks in the mirror, takes some advice from all these other coaches that started off wrong. Brian Daboll, Tom Coughlin, all these coaches that tell them that they were trying to be something they weren't. Be himself. The guy is a great dude. I know Eric. He's a great dude. He is approachable. I just think he needs to kind of be himself and let the chips fall where they may.
We call this the Expressway. Billy Taylor and Charles Way, we're on every single week, and we come on at 9 in the morning on Fridays on YouTube. When we come back on the other side, we're going to take a look at some of the scheduling teams that are going to be able to have some opportunities this season. So keep it where it is. We'll be right back more with the Expressway after these messages.
And welcome back to the Expressway with the Charles Show Me the Way and the BTS Billy Taylor. We are here live on NFL Alumni Media.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Podcast, and we will be on YouTube every Friday morning at 9 a.m. Well, we are here again, and for our final segment this week, we are going to talk about the NFC, and we're going to rank the teams in the NFC and East Division from least to worst, and to see who's at the top of our list and who's at the bottom of the list and all those in between. Obviously, when you look at the NFC, the two teams that you're looking at as the cream of the crop are the Philadelphia Eagles and the San Francisco 49ers, BT. Which one of those teams takes your number one spot?
Well, see, I was blown away by the Philadelphia Eagles and their young quarterback, because it showed me that if you put the work in, you get results. And when I watched him, even the last couple of years, this is his third year coming up, he seemed like to underthrow and overthrow people. And he seemed like he didn't have the touch on the ball. But what I love about him is he went back to the beginning and worked on his arm, worked on his accuracy. And he is the reason, one of the main reasons the Eagles went to the Super Bowl last year. As far as the 49ers go, they got problems at quarterback. But if they can get this guy Brock to come in and do good, then this guy Lance, who they went with the third pick, he may have to go to some other team. And that just shows you sometimes, you know, everybody doesn't know what they're talking about. For him to be drafted 3 and not be the starting quarterback now, that's almost a waste of a draft pick. But I think it's going to be great. A lot of people talk about NFC getting better. But I look at the division with the Cardinals, the Rams, 49ers, and Seahawks, because with Geno Smith, believe it or not, a lot of people think the Seahawks can get back to the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree with you. So you're saying Philly is number one, San Francisco is number two?
Yep.
And then
I probably would go, and as my maybe the Lions number 3, because Dak of the Cowboys has got to show me that he can't turn the ball over. I mean, that was the reason they didn't do well last year. He led the NFL in interceptions. If you turn the ball over, you don't have a chance to win. But and another thing that made me mad, CW, while I'm on a roll, is that the linebacker – for the Cowboys, who led the NFL in sacks, thinks he's better than LT. And I have to think about that. He's only in his second year. In his second year, I was there the first year when LT won Defensive Player of the Year. And the second year, he was even meaner. So I don't even see him being close to LT because LT changed the game. And what I mean by that is that the running back used to have to check the linebacker before you go out for a pass. No running back could block him. I tried to block him in practice, and the coach was yelling at me and screaming, "Come on, Billy Taylor, block this guy. You can't block a rookie." And I, you know, then other running backs got their behind beat, and I love seeing that. So do you think this kid for the Cowboys is on the level of Lawrence Taylor?
I haven't seen anybody on the level of Lawrence Taylor, given what LT did his entire career. I think that's a once in a generation type of guy. And I don't think we've seen anybody that kind of touches what he's been able to accomplish. So I don't agree, and probably a bad comparison, because it's hard to, unless you can dominate a game like he's done and like he did, you're not even in the same category. But when you look at the second tier, after you get past the Cowboys and the 49ers, and you get to the second tier, you got the Cowboys, you have Seattle, you have Detroit, right? And out of that group, and do you put the Vikings in, even though neither one of us are thrilled with their quarterback, but they've always been having the best record, in not only in that division, but probably one of the better records in the whole NFC. And it seems like they still haven't changed much. They're going to have a very similar team. So where do you stack that second tier of teams? And do you put the Giants in that second tier with the Seahawks, with the Vikings, with the Cowboys, and with the Lions?
I think the Giants are going to be up there. And the reason is because they got more power on offense than they've ever had. They got more weapons on offense than they've ever had. They're giving Danny Jones at least people to choose from. If you make the right decision, you throw into man coverage instead of double teams. And I think that's going to be crazy. In the other division, I don't think the Bears are any good. Love with the Packers got to prove themselves. I don't think the Vikings are that good without Cook. Cook had four straight years, 1,000 yards rushing. They didn't re-sign him. Who's going to help out Cousins to be able to take the pressure off of him? Cousins is, in my opinion, is one of those quarterbacks who's been still in a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, he hadn't done really anything in the postseason at all, and people give him credit. And then the Falcons, Panthers, and Bucks, and the Saints, I don't think any of those teams are any good. People talk about the Falcons because the number one running back they drafted from Texas, but you know yourself, you got to have a quarterback if you're going to win. I don't think the Falcons have the quarterback to do it. And then the Panthers and the Bucks, I don't think so either. So it's going to be interesting to see what the heck happens. But I think the Giants are in the second echelon of some of the good teams if everything comes out the way we think it will.
So if you're ranking, obviously, Eagles, 49ers,
yep.
Your third team, your third best team in NFC, would it be the Cowboys or the Lions?
I would go with the Lions.
And then would the Cowboys next or and Seattle? Then,
I don't like the Cowboys at all, but I'll go with the Cowboys.
Oh, not Seattle over Seattle?
No, yeah, I'll go with the Cowboys over Seattle.
And then did Seattle go before the Giants?
No, I'm going to put the Giants before them, and I'm going to put the Rams after that because Matt Stafford is back. They still got Defensive Player of the Year. And I like Sean McVay. So, you know, we'll see on that. But, you know, the NFC, they say the NFC East is the toughest one. Last year they said it was the worst division. So how can they trade in one year?
Yeah, but what about the Vikings? Given they just can't win the big game, but they win. They win over 10 games every year. And so do they not belong in that second tier?
No, they don't belong at all. I mean, for them to lose – to the Giants twice. The Giants should have beat them even more than that, but them to lose in the playoffs at home to the Giants, I mean, I don't know if that's saying very much, because that's the one that really brought Danny Jones to the money that he got because he beat the Vikings on the road.
Okay. And so let's talk about our third tier. Now, this third tier, I'm going to classify the third tier as surprising teams that could potentially be in the second tier and okay. make a hard contention for the first tier, right? And so in my mind, based on reports that I'm hearing, you know, the Commanders, their defensive line is like should be all pro.
Yep.
Everybody across that defensive line, and you know, if you don't have to blitz and you're getting pressure from the front four, you don't need to worry about anything, and yep. that'll take care of the defense. So I would say probably leading that third tier would be the Washington Commanders. What do you think?
Well, the reason I don't know is because I've never heard of their quarterback before. Mm-hmm. It's Holland, his name. I can't remember his last name, but I've never heard of him. But this is when Eric Bieniemy is going to come to the light, because if he does anything, they're going to know it's coaching. The Packers would love, I would think this is a perfect situation for him, because I really like a quarterback to stay on the bench in the beginning and learn. And even when Phil Simms came in, he came in my second year, and the first five games of the season, he didn't play at all. And then he got to play about the fifth or sixth game of the season. I just believe in that, because there's too much stuff going at a quarterback. And then the Bucs with Baker Mayfield, I'm not a fan of Baker Mayfield. He could get the job done. He's fighting with a young guy on that. The Falcons, I don't think they have anybody yet except the running back that can do anything. The Cardinals, I don't like their quarterback because he's too small.
But they say he's locked in. He hasn't thrown a snap, but everybody's talking about how well he's paying attention. But I didn't know that was a litmus test to winning games, is paying attention.
Yeah, but I believe in a quarterback should come to practice early and stay late.
Right.
They say, and I remember, and I shouldn't even bring this up, when Michael Vick was a quarterback in Atlanta, he would take off on Monday and Tuesday. And then fly back in there on Wednesday. And that's when he was doing those dog things, right? With those pit bulls. And I always, ever since then, because when I was with Phil Simms would be the first one in there, the last one out. I would leave after lifting weights. Phil Simms is still in there. And that's why he had success. I think a quarterback is like a CEO of a company. You've got to hang in there till everybody leaves, and you got to put the most hours in so that because you're the one that makes the team go. So that's one of the reasons I don't know about Love on the Packers, because he sat behind Aaron Rodgers at least 4 years, and that's a long time.
Yeah, and it looks like you put the entire NFC South in the fourth tier.
Yep. Yep.
That may be like that AFC South with Indianapolis. What was it? Jacksonville back in the day. I mean, that had to be the worst division. Tennessee, that had to be like the worst division on a consistent basis, where the top team is getting in with an 8-8, a 7-9 record. Remember those days when AFC, Texans, Colts, Jaguars, and Titans?
Yep. No, this, and like I said, if you think about it, Charles, this is the best talent maybe the NFL has ever had. I mean, because you have so many teams that have a chance to get to the Super Bowl, to get to the playoffs. You can't tell me who's going to get to the Super Bowl right now. You can't tell me who's going to go to the playoffs right now. Every year, a team that doesn't do well comes back and makes the playoffs. That's one great thing about the NFL. So I can't tell now. You can't tell me this day to put my house note on who's going to get in the Super Bowl, Charles.
The Eagles, listening to or seeing the video and listening to everybody coming out of their practices, man, they are deep. They have like depth, and they have a legit defense, a legit offense, and they are stacked at every position across the board. Offense and defense. So if I had to put my house up, I would want to put it on the Eagles, because my God, they have a bunch of talent on that team.
Well, I think that, you know, the thing for me is that I realize that Jerry Jones is going into his 28th year without winning any kind of meaningful gains. And I think it's just something that he's done because he said anybody can coach a team. And when you make that kind of statement, it came back to kind of get you. So I think that's what it is. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that's our show, The Expressway, for today. I got to thank Ben back at the studio. Ben takes care of Charles Way and I every single week. And I hope to talk to you next week because the Giants go against Detroit and the Jets go against the Panthers. And we have more to talk about in our four quarters of NFL action. So we'll see you next week. For Charles, show me the way. I'm the BT Express, Billy Taylor. Ladies and gentlemen, have a good evening.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.